the new U.S. occupation of Syria. That's what Iran has said about U.S. forces in that country. Meanwhile, Syria has said that Turkey's ongoing military operation against Kurdish militants in Syria's Afrin region is in full violation of international law. This is while Turkey says that his country's army will fight Syrian troops in Afrin if they help the YPG, unless the Syrian army plans to dislodge the Kurdish militants, which Syria has said it would not, since it has made a deal with the Kurdish YPG. Our guest joining us for this edition of The Debate, founder and director at Gnosos, Omar Wakaf, joins us from London. And we have Secretary General at the Next Century Foundation, William Morris, who joins us from London. I'd like to welcome you both. And William Morris, let me start with you. We're looking at a situation in Syria as if it wasn't complex before. It's now more complex because there appears to now be a new war scenario that's being played out involving some of the old players, the U.S., Russia, the YPG, Kurdish fighters, and Iran in its advisory role. First of all, let's talk about the U.S. Now, from what we understand, based on facts on the ground, they have, for the large part, the terrorists have been defeated. The U.S. claimed that it was fighting them. You know, that was a big question mark based on many people's analysis on it. So now, if the terrorists are defeated for the most part, what is the U.S. doing in Syria? Why is it there right now?
Well, the U.S. has its allies, or at least it has. There was a de facto alliance between the U.S., the YPG, and in practice the Syrian government and Russia to try and defeat Daesh. And yes, you're right, by and large, Daesh has been defeated in Syria. The U.S. hasn't withdrawn, but then nor more have many of the other actors in Syria. So we have a situation. I wouldn't count. It's not a U.S. invasion of Syria. The numbers involved are minute, tiny, compared to the number of, for example, Iranian or other advisors there. But nonetheless, U.S. has a presence near the Iraq border, and it will presumably maintain that presence as for a while. The real problem is not the USA, it's Turkey, with its disgraceful attack on Syrian sovereign soil as it moves in. It really is a danger to the whole area. Turkey, who in the past have supported Daesh, very, very strongly supported Daesh, they are a real problem in the area, the problem to the international community. They are disruptive, they're dangerous, and it's deeply disturbing to see this action by Turkey at the expense of a stable Syria. And we need to move, as in the whole world needs to move, to try and rein Turkey in.
Well, Omar Wakaf, please explain to us the relationship that the U.S. has with Turkey, especially now when it comes to the Afrin region, because we're looking at what Rex Tillerson has said, which doesn't make sense in a way that the U.S. and Turkey have the same goals in Syria. I mean, how can they have the same goals if the two are NATO members and are practically close to fighting on the opposite sides of the conflict now with what is playing out in Afrin?
Well, good evening. Actually, Secretary Tillerson has spoken the truth. Actually, Turkey and the United States have the same objective in Syria, which is to augment or use basically a group of Syrians, you can call it extreme Muslim extremists on one end and Kurdish militia on the other end with the United States, to pressure Damascus to concede or to offer concessions in the political process, in a sense, or effectively forcing the political setup in Syria to change. So the United States is using its presence, its propping up and of Kurdish militia, just like exactly what Turkey is trying to do in northwestern Syria. So basically, yes, they have the same objective. Unfortunately, though, the proxies that they are using have different priorities, and they have different objectives altogether in Syria. Some of them want to establish a, for example, Sharia law state in Syria. Others would like to have their own Kurdish nationalistic progressive leftist sort of entity, and that is often softened by saying, you know, we want some self-rule or federalism, whatever it is. So these proxies have conflicting, which gives the impression that the United States and Turkey are at odds. They're not really at odds, but the problem is that the proxies they're using are at odds, and one of them would need to give way so that the other project is established here or there.
So we have the Afrin region here, William Morris. We have Turkey that's entered it. We have the U.S. that supports the Kurds, but our guest there says, well, you know what, in a sense, they both have the same objective. But then you have the Syrian army that has made a deal with the Kurds. They've got to set up military positions in the border area. And the agreement is that the Syrian army and the YPG will defend Syria together. So explain to us what all that means.
Well, I mean, I have great respect for Amr Waqaf, and I think he's a great analyst, but he did confuse me slightly with what he was saying. I mean, to my way of thinking, the Syrian army has long had a kind of pragmatic alliance with the YPG. It goes back for some time, and it's nothing new. The YPG have provided some degree of stability in the Kurdish areas, and more latterly, they have fought very nobly against Daesh. So they have effectively been allies of the Syrian army, the Syrian armed forces. The YPG have been allies of the United States in the fight against Daesh. Now, whether the USA are going to sell them down the river, that's quite possible. I mean, the USA is noted for its betrayal of its allies, and it may well sell the YPG down the river and for some short-term objective in rapprochement with Turkey. I hope it does not. Turkey are backing Islamist factions. Turkey is a dangerous player in the game. Turkey has a real sinister role, and I think that to say that. I don't think Turkey for one moment is singing from the same hymn book as the USA, but that's my perspective. I believe they have very different agendas. I would hope the USA continues to stabilize the situation and doesn't become a troublemaker. Up till now, it has been very helpful in the fight against Daesh and providing better stability in the region.
Amr Waqaf, we have news that it's now about an hour or two old. The Turkish Deputy Prime Minister, Bozdag, has said that if Syrian government forces enter the Afrin region, it will give green light to dividing Syria. Can you break that down to us and tell us perhaps what he means by that?
Well, the Turkish leadership, they basically, since the morning, the foreign minister said if Syrian troops are going into Afrin to curb or disarm the Kurdish militia, then that's fine. If they're going to fight with them, then nothing is going to stop the Turkish army or the Turkish troops. And then the deputy prime minister said effectively the same thing. There will be consequences. About an hour ago, that was the statement about an hour ago. Apparently, they seem to be a little bit uncertain of what the Syrian army is going to do. Syrian army did not announce Syrian army units going into Afrin. What they've announced is that, since the morning actually, is that popular defense units are going to go to Afrin in order to help repel the Turkish aggression, so to speak, which is the official description in Damascus for the Turkish operation. So Turkey doesn't feel quite sure whether its objective, which is overall objective, and let's go back a little bit, a step back here and actually say what it is or describe it. Turkey would want to link the previously occupied Euphrates Shield, which is north of Aleppo, Euphrates Shield area, with Idlib through Afrin. Basically or effectively linking those territories together would give Turkey a belt along its borders, basically northeastern or northwestern Syria, with a depth about 30 kilometers or so. Turkey apparently intends to send Syrian refugees in Turkey back to that sort of area. The latest announcement that we've heard was from Recep Tayyip Erdogan's wife. She said up to 500,000 Syrian refugees are going to go back to that area. Apparently, this is a domestic reason, and they are preparing for next year's election by telling the Turkish electorate that they are going to alleviate the burden of Syrian refugees. That's one way of looking at it. So if the Syrian army is going to go to Afrin and prevent the link of those areas, and basically, and also because of the complexity of the situation, we can expect that the negotiations between the Syrian state and the YPG are not only about Afrin, but also about other areas, and sort of final solution to this saga, then Turkey isn't so sure that what they describe as a terrorist presence is going to be away or kept away from their borders. Obviously, they're very selective in Turkey in terms of identifying terrorists. Only a few weeks back, they entered Syria, accompanied by Al-Qaeda, Jabhat al-Nusra, vehicles. So they only select, and again, that's for probably domestic reasons, they only select the YPG as terrorists. At the end of the day, the Syrian army, it's not quite clear what's the details of the agreement and whether it's going to be, at the end of the day, as well implemented or not. The issue is that the Syrian army would like to maintain that these are Syrian people, these are areas outside government control or Syrian state authority, and the way to go back is to lay down weapons and see whether there are people who are at the age where they need to go as conscripts to the army. There are people who have fought against the army, and then they would need to go through a certain procedure of reconciliation and what have you. This has happened in other areas, and the Syrian state apparently, or at least is giving the indication, that this is going to happen there too.
Okay. Well, William Morris, if we're not confused from the beginning of the program, I am. I'm trying to figure this out, so help me out here. So now we have Turkey trying to, based on our guests there, have 500,000 Syrian refugees go back into this area, perhaps. It sounds like there are alliances that are being made in order for, as our guest Amar Waqaf said, there alliances, and I'm talking about a solution when I say that, in order to draw this down, this war down. Are we looking at a drawdown, first of all, when you look at the activities of the U.S., the way it's conducting itself, and of course, always the question of what Israel is doing. Recently, it has ramped up its attacks on Syrian territory.
Yes, Israeli behavior is very confused, and I don't think Israel knows what it's doing. If it destabilizes Syria at its own peril, but leave Israel aside for a moment. The Kurds have always been frightened of the YPG as a force because it's a Kurdish force, and it has, as you know, it has whole areas of the Turks have always been frightened of the YPG as a force because it's a Kurdish force, and there are whole areas of Turkey that are Kurdish, and they're worried about this strengthening of the Kurds that's represented by a strong YPG. So the Turks are concerned, they're a little frightened of this growing YPG strength. From the perspective of the Americans, the YPG was a major fighting bloc. And indeed, from the Syrian perspective, it's been helpful. There is a pragmatic alliance. I think that I remember Walid Mualim told me just over a year ago that if Turkey invaded Syria, then Syria would fight. I think Turkey is taking big risks, and I really am concerned about the situation. Syria, one hopes, is moving towards greater stability, and all this disruption and tragedy and misery we've seen for so many years is moving to an end. If Turkey is now supporting it was supporting Daesh, if it's now supporting Jabhat al-Nusra, if it's going to be a destabilizing factor on a major scale, as it has been in the past, then we have a long, hard road ahead. to try and rein Turkey in and bring that country to heel. In a way, Turkey has become the rogue state of the Middle East. It is a big troublemaker, and we need to think, the whole international community needs to think about what it can do to bring some common sense to Turkey. Erdogan is looking for hegemony, he's looking for power. His agenda is Erdogan. Erdogan wants to be a dominant force in the region, and he has become quite a dangerous player, in my view.
Amar Wakaf, harsh words there from William Morris towards Turkey. Do you agree with that? And please explain to us how this plays out when the relationship between Turkey and Iran now have turned the tide when it comes to Syria, so to speak. At least it appears that way. We know that there was a visit by the foreign minister recently, and we know that just based on news today, even though no details have been released, was that Turkey actually contacted Iran, that there was a phone conversation that happened. So how do you see these the Iranian factor in this with Turkey, and of course the words that William Morris had against Turkey?
Well, we understand the Turkish position as, how do you say, ultra-pragmatic, so to speak. It all went well. William, who also I very much respect and seldom disagree with, pointed that Turkey did indeed support Daesh until it suited them. In Turkey, there was some reconciliation with the Kurdish movement between 2012 and 2015, when in June 2015, HDP, the Kurdish party, won enough seats to enter the parliament, which deprived AKP, the ruling party, Erdogan party, from a majority. They weren't able to form a government. Then suddenly AKP Erdogan sided with the United States against Daesh. They offered them all military facilities to go and bomb Daesh in Mosul and Syria in exchange for bombing Kurdish militia in Syria and Iraq. And they've declared the Kurds as sort of traitors or enemies in order to harness Turkish nationalistic views and deprive HDP from further progress. They did a snap election 6 months later, and AKP rewon its position in the parliament. Afterwards, Russia came. There was a bit of a clash with Russia, and then Erdogan suddenly decided that they can't go all along against Russia, because Russia was very powerful, was well situated inside Syria. So they aligned themselves with Russia in order to secure or salvage whatever gains they might have in Syria. They seem to have always had this idea of having an area inside Syria. Now that, or then, obviously, that the Syrian government was not going to be ousted as Russia went in. So they thought that they could salvage an area whereby their proxies, Islamic sort of movements, would be situated. And he's following whatever path that brings him that way. So in a sense, he's been ultra pragmatic. With Iran and Russia, they've been trying, you know, one way to read the Astana process is to guarantee those militants in Idlib, basically, a place on the table. And it has helped, obviously, reduce a lot of violence, so that's much appreciated. But then there is a key issue that brings legitimacy. It's a key source of legitimacy for the Syrian government. And this is very important, because the rest of the Syrian people will not look with any sort of degree of acceptance to whatever faction, whether it's the, you call it Free Syrian Army, Islamic militants, or even the Kurds, holding weapons against the state and gaining whatever federalism, independence, or whatever state. So that gives this sort of, how do you say, refusal, or general refusal in Syria to such a practice would give the Syrian state whatever legitimacy it needs to combat that.
Very well. We're going to unfortunately have to end it there. Thank you very much, founder and director at Knossos, Amar Wakaf from London. And thank you, Secretary General at the Next Century Foundation, William Morris from London. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of The Debate. From We Cover Taiwan, the entire team in the capital of Taiwan, goodbye.